This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
The Appian Way is one of the oldest, most famous roads of antiquity, connecting the eternal city of Rome with the southern Adriatic coast. And, no doubt, it was the final leg of Paul's journey to Rome recorded in the Book of Acts. A new book, In This Way We Came to Rome with Paul on the Appian Way, just out from Lexham Press, has co-authors Glenn Thompson and Mark Wilson using GPS and other modern technology to find and record what remains of the Appian Way today. Acts chapter 28 reports that Paul arrived at Puteoli, the main harbor of Italy. In order to connect with the Appian Way, he had to take a northern road about 20 miles north to Capua. Glenn Thompson told me that Google Earth is a handy tool for remotely finding the remains of those roads most of the time.
Well, it's sometimes easy and sometimes difficult, and you can get led astray. We thought we had discovered a nice stretch of a couple hundred meters north of the Roman colony of Sinuessa. It looked so promising from Google Earth, but when we got down on the ground, it turned out to be some drainage tiles that were just the right color and looking like ancient road. But there are other places where you couldn't see it from Google Earth, and when we got down there, we saw it. It's a combination of the two. That's what's made our project successful, I think, that we, you know, use both approaches.
So what I understand is that sometimes when you're on the ground looking for these roads, there's ancient Roman buildings or tombs that are alongside the road.
Yes. So in Roman culture, you could not bury inside the city. All tombs were outside the city. So the roads, the major roads leading out of the city, would be prime real estate for people to bury their dead. And the richest families would get the most prime land near the city gate, put up these huge monumental tombs, family tombs along the road to show off their wealth and their status. Just outside the city gate of Puteoli, we have a stretch of 100 meters or more, a series of a dozen or more of these tombs that still exist. A mile and a half further, a second row of 100 meters still exists. So those were two of the areas that helped us solidify our knowledge of where that road left Puteoli and went up to Capua. There are a few other ones along the way until you get to Rome. And then from Rome, the first 10 miles outside of Rome along the Appian Way, you're never out of sight of an ancient tomb in that area, even though many have been destroyed and dismantled over the years. Sometimes we find ancient paving still existing. Sometimes we find the Roman bridge that tells us where the road went. Sometimes the tombs on the sides give us direction. Sometimes it's water cisterns, because travelers needed water for their animals and for themselves. All of those are things that we look for to help guide us when the road is no longer there. In Italy, the one area that was most difficult for us to determine was the first 20 miles outside of Capua. The road goes across the most fertile breadbasket of ancient Rome, the Falernian Plain. Falernian wine was famous as the most expensive and the best wine in ancient times. And so the Falernian Plain has been, for the last 2,000 years, continued to be a great agricultural area, and virtually all evidence of the ancient road has disappeared during this 20 miles. But with the help of some archaeological excavations that have usually by accident taken place when somebody was digging a well or reconstructing a road, or through a few places through aerial photography, we've been able to come up with just enough traces to get a pretty good idea within, I'd say, probably 20, 30 meters of where the ancient road went. But that really took a lot of effort. When we got there on the ground, we were not able to see too much. But as I said, from the aerial photography and other articles, we were able to piece it together and be pretty confident.
So it's not always the shortest distance between two points?
Usually it is. The Romans were very efficient in that way. For instance, the area south of the Three Taverns down to Terracina, the modern road goes right over the top of the ancient road. And that is still the longest stretch of straight road in all of Europe, I've been told, 30 some miles where it's as straight as an arrow. And then it has to go through a little bit of a volcanic area. Right at that point, the road had to veer down a side of a hill. And there we have a fantastic ancient structure, a viaduct that the Roman engineers built, 300 meters long, but up to 50 meters high and 16 meters wide, that took the Roman road up the side of this wall of the crater. And that is still there, even though you can only see a little bit of it yet. The modern road still uses it, goes right on top of it, and houses have been built up on both sides. So it's a very difficult to see anything but the very end of it. But that's an example of where they had to veer away from the straight line. But as soon as they got through that, then again, it's a straight line, another 15 miles straight into Rome. So they did like that wherever possible. Around Puteoli, we also find that it is not a straight line, but there again, it's because it's so volcanic, they just had to follow the natural paths around the volcanic craters.
So there's more ancient volcanic craters in Italy than just Mount Vesuvius.
Exactly. Yeah. Vesuvius is the famous one, but if you look at a topographical map, the entire area is just filled with craters. The entrance to the underworld was just a few miles east of Puteoli, between Puteoli and Naples, where sulfur is coming out because it's still volcanic. Much of the ancient city of Puteoli is now underwater because of what they call bradyseism, where the volcanic activity actually causes part of the earth to lower in area. So the part along the coastline, much of the ancient port city is now underwater. And you can actually get a glass bottom boat for tourists to go and see some of this as you're going around the bay in Puteoli.
For those who've just joined us, we're talking with Glenn Thompson, Emeritus Professor at Asia Lutheran Seminary and connected with the Wisconsin Lutheran College, about the new book, In This Way We Came to Rome, with Paul and the Appian Way. Was Puteoli the main harbor in that region at that time?
Yes. And one of the things we had to ask is, why didn't they just sail all the way up to Ostia, which becomes the great harbor of Rome, and which people still can visit today, the ruins of ancient Ostia. But the reality was, in Paul's day, Ostia had not been improved and upgraded to a large capacity. So we know that the time of Nero, yet in the 50s, 60s AD, that Puteoli was still the main port, and the big grain ships would get in there. Some would be put on smaller ships and sailed up the coast, but a lot of it would be offloaded and taken up on the roads up to Rome.
And there was also a plan to build a canal from Puteoli to Rome, right?
Exactly. For a long time, people thought this was wishful thinking by Nero, one of his megalomania projects. But it turns out that there is archaeological evidence that they did start to do that. That went along the coast. So if you look at our maps in our book, and our book has some wonderful color maps that show open street maps as the background, but the ancient material is in black superimposed so that you can really get a sense of, if you go there today with the book, where you're at all times. Along the coast, there was also a road. So our first thought was that Paul might have just gone along the road, but that one was in very bad shape until the end of the first century, when Domitian built a superhighway down the coast, and it's still called the Via Domitiana today, if you go down the coast. But in those days, it was a very poor, marshy thing, noted for how long and it took to go, and that got washed out and not in good condition at all. So that's why we settled on the fact that Paul must have taken the paved road that went up to Capua. Even though it was a bit longer, it would have been shorter time-wise do the extra 5 or 10 miles to go that way along good roads.
There was an article in National Geographic several years ago, I remember reading about work to restore the Appian Way as kind of a pilgrimage route, similar to the Camino de Santiago in Spain or other routes that are becoming more and more popular. Does your work fit into that scenario?
Yes, it does. And yeah, we did read the article and it was pretty good, though it was somewhat inaccurate about first century conditions. Italy has been applying for a World Heritage status for the Appian Way because it's such a long, thin property. It's a lot more difficult to, categorize or put into that category and protect. But they are definitely moving in that direction. We're hoping that our book will help encourage the preservation of the sections that are still extant and just protect a lot of the other little monuments along the way. If you read a guidebook, an Italian guidebook to the Appian Way from 30, 40 years ago, about 50% of all of the monuments that they mention from antiquity along the sides of the Appian Way are no longer there.
Wow.
As Rome has expanded outward and this is prime real estate, many of the ancient things just have not been protected at all. One of the more tragic ones is right at the Forum of Appius. In our book, I have a picture of a milestone, me standing next to the Roman milestone number 43. 20 years ago, the milestone was still standing there. When we went back the last 5 years or so, it had been cut off at the base and disappeared. A vandal had come along and just taken it away. That kind of thing is happening constantly. Anything we can do to help preserve what's left would be a wonderful thing, and we hope our book will help in that direction.
Pilgrimage hikes along the Appian Way may become a thing.
Maybe there are some hurdles. The traffic for the first couple miles, it's still an ongoing thing. So it's very difficult to take tour groups or hikers the first couple miles. Then the next few miles are excellent, starting at about mile 3 all the way out to mile 11 or 12. It's very nice hiking. A few bicycles will go by, some ancient paving existing from place to place. It's very pleasant. After that, you have a very busy stretch of modern road again. It's almost impossible to walk along for the next 5 miles. It kind of goes that way back and forth. How they would put this into a hiking path, and so forth, it's going to take some work. But I would love to see if they could get out the first 17, 18 miles, including that viaduct that I mentioned before. If they could divert the modern traffic from that, that would be a wonderful kind of ending to that section of road.
Well, the book is called In This Way We Came to Rome with Paul on the Appian Way. And one of the authors, Glenn Thompson, has been our guest on the Book in the Spade. He is a Lutheran pastor, emeritus professor at Asia Lutheran Seminary, and also involved in Wisconsin Lutheran College. Thank you for joining us on the Book in the Spade. We have information on that book on our website at radioscribe.com. We also have information on our Biblical Archaeology News Magazine artifacts and also information on our upcoming trip to Israel in November. You can find that information at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on the Book in the Spade.
The Book in the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.